Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Outbreak MMA podcast. We are back, and we are back in time for a special pay-per-view.
One more sleep,
which, if you've seen the t-shirt that John Anik was wearing, it was really cool. With me is a lovely Ferrari.
And our fat executive producer.
Yes, who's sitting on Ferrari's lap, and sooner or later we'll probably make her lap go to sleep. That being said...
anybody who hasn't listened to this before is like, what's going on in that studio?
Now you wish we had cameras, don't you? It's UFC 287 from Miami. First time they returned to Miami in 20 years, actually. I think they might have actually been down there for a fight night.
Yeah.
But for a pay-per-view, it's been 20 years. Honestly, this whole card looks really good. Yes. And what really sucks is we did take a look at ticket prices because for me, it's a special weekend and I really wanted to go down there.
Go, Mandrake.
But
it's your birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. Rumor has it that I'm turning old.
Not yet.
Yeah, that's next year. But.
Candles.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Ticket prices were a little bit too expensive, so we are going to stay home and order the pay-per-view. This is one of the pay-per-views that we are going to order because honestly, every match on this card on the main card, I'm definitely interested in. So we'll get to that in a second. Why don't you get to the candles?
To the candles. The smellofear.com. Candles. They are inspired by horror movies and Stephen King novels and Halloween cereals. Blueberry.
Yeah. Well, they even had some stuff, based on like old time horror movies,
yes,
like Vincent Price and stuff like that. I think there was one like Casks of Monte Cristo.
At some point. Yeah. The Count of Monte Cristo. And the Cask of Amontillado.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Cask of Monte Cristo.
Yeah. Okay. So I messed it up.
The Count of Amontillado.
But the one thing, it's important. We say that, and we've gotten this reaction from a couple of people in the past of, well, if it smells like horror movies, I don't want that. No, guys, it doesn't. They're not bad. These are not gag candles.
No, they're not nice smelling candles.
Yes.
Inspired by... certain aspects of, scenes of horror movies or ideas. There's a Stranger Things inspired candle that I think is like waffles or something.
Well,
like,
I don't
watch Stranger Things, so I don't know what I'm
I think
talking.
one of the candles in the next package that comes out, because they've got package deals that come out quarterly. One of them smells like cotton candy, I think. Mm-hmm. I was reading. But anybody that's heard me say this before, we will never recommend anything that we ourselves won't use, because I won't do that to you guys. If we don't believe in it and we won't use it, there's no way I'm going to try to sell it to you guys. Just won't happen. I'm not like that. Neither is Ferrari. We both strongly, believe in this company. It's a small business, which we totally support, supporting small business. It's good. I mean, we both used to love Yankee Candle, and since we've tried the Smell of Fear candles, we actually prefer those. Definitely go to the
smellofear.com.
Go to that page, check it out, see if there's anything you like, and trust me, it's well worth it. They package with some other local businesses. It is local to Buffalo, New York. We are friends with the girl that owns it, that started the company. I'll tell you, for a small business, it certainly has like a big time feel to it with everything they include with it and how well made the candles are. My favorite right now is it's got lavender, patchouli, and something else in it. I can't remember. But it's one of the few things that, because I get very anxious sometimes, and it's one of the very few things that can calm me down. Like, even those lavender sprays like Febreze and stuff don't work, but this candle just calms me down right away. Strongly recommend it. You got anything else on that?
No.
Okay, awesome. Cool. We're going to move to the pay-per-view, UFC 287 from Miami. Everybody made weight except for one person this morning, which was...
Christian Rodriguez.
That's right. Christian Rodriguez. So he's going to forfeit 20% of his purse. He's fighting Raul Rosas Jr. Jr.
Rosas, I think, right?
Actually, I thought it was Rojas, but I mispronounce things all the time, guys. That is a main card fight, though. So, you know, again, it is what it is. The preliminary cards, they start at 6 p.m. on ESPN+. The one fight that really stands out to me on that is Cynthia Cavillo versus Lupi Godinez. That fight, I am definitely looking forward to because both those girls can go. And I've been a big fan of Cynthia Cavillo since she, you know, since first seeing her in Invicta. But Lupi Godinez is a hell of a fighter.
Yes.
I'm not so confident on Cavillo's chances with this one.
Yeah.
But you move on to the prelim card on ESPN that starts at 8 o'clock. The prelims or the early prelims, they start at 6. I think I might have mentioned that, but in case I didn't. And on the prelim card, that's on ESPN. I think it's on ESPN Plus as well. That starts at 8 p.m. You actually got a couple really good fights on this. You got Meerkat. Gerald Meerschaert versus Joe Pyre. You know, Battle of the Big Men, Chase Sherman versus Carl Williams. Carl Williams was a late replacement or a later replacement. Luana Pinheiro versus Michelle Watterson Gomez.
The karate hottie.
Which
who looks like she could kill you right now.
Yeah, I will say, she put pictures on her Instagram about 3 weeks to a month ago, and she actually looked like she was having trouble. Yeah, it's either pictures or it was in stories, one or the other. But I was kind of concerned about whether or not she'd make the weight cut. But then when she went to weigh in, I think this is the best that she's looked her whole career. She is cut. She looks great.
Oh, I don't know. These pictures. Oh, that's from today. That's why she looks like.
Yeah, she looks great.
That's from 2 days ago, so.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was one of those things where she mentioned that she had lost a lot of weight too, and she was going to keep on going with it. But yeah, she looks great, so I'm looking forward to that fight. And the headlining the prelim card is Kevin Gastelum versus Chris Curtis, which again, I'm a big fan of both those guys. I'm really looking forward to that fight. I really like Chris Curtis a lot. But again, I've always liked Gastelum as well. But then you get to the main card. You got Christian Rodriguez. He was a standout. I believe that it was on Dana White's fight series versus Raul Rojas, who, again, from the fight series. They're facing each other. Kevin Holland is facing Santiago Ponzinibbio. Rob Font is facing Adrian Yanez. Who is a very impressive boxer, actually. Like, he's got a boxing style, and he's one of the few that has more of a boxing style than anything else that actually can compete and compete well with MMA fighters. He was a standout with the Contender Series as well. And then you get to your co-main, Gilbert Burns versus Jorge Masvidal. And then your main, which is champion Alex Piera defending his middleweight title against Israel Adesanya, who he won it from. So it's a rematch. So it's Piera Adesanya too. Again, another great fight. And to show you how close a lot of these matchups are, I went on DraftKings Sportsbook just looking to possibly put down some money, even on a couple parlays. Nothing was paying out well enough for me to really put money on. I mean, yes, I might make a couple dollars, but it wasn't worth me laying down even 20 bucks if I'm only going to get, you know, $5 back or, you know, anything like $5 or under back. And I mean, that was even picking some underdogs. They're really, most of these fights appear to be really close number wise if you go by the numbers. So as we always do, and then we'll come back to this. We'll come back. Because we do got a couple things. We'll do this before we talk about the Endeavor deal. For those that seen the press conference, okay, let me start it this way. Me and you watched the press conference last night. What do you think about that press conference? You already know what I think, but I want to know what you think.
Besides that main point right there. Besides Mr. Grumpy Gills?
Yeah, well, I mean, overall, though, do you think that brought down the mood of the press conference? Not just that one particular incident.
Like, it had, like, a negative feel to it? Is that what you're saying? Like,
Well, maybe should I explain what happened and then...
Well, let me say something first that's different than what you're going to say. I actually enjoyed it because I am a Duolingo nerd, and every week I'm working on a different language. Was fun to listen to people ask questions in Spanish, and then the interpreters have to say it in English, and then the fighters answer in Portuguese, and then have to, you know...
Yeah.
Because you kept asking me, what is this Spanish? Is this Portuguese? Is this, you know? And I like being able to see if I can pick out what they're saying. So to me, that was fun. But go ahead and say what you're going to say.
All right. There was, and we're going to get into this in a bit. Well, actually, there's not really much to get into.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, in the Fighters Hotel, Holland's team and Masvidal's team kind of had a yelling match in the lobby. And as it turns out, what it was over, it had something to do with Colby Covington. Because Colby Covington right now, as it stands, and Dana White seems to be sticking by this no matter what, has a title shot against Edwards. And we're going to touch on that in a minute because Masvidal, even though he didn't say it at the press conference, and I wish he would have, made a very good point on media day, regarding that. But little was said about that skirmish short of it was about Covington. Other than that, nobody really knows. So the press was asking about it and Masvidal gave the standard answer, you know, whatever, he's a bitch, you know, that typical Masvidal.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where Holland could answer, and Dana White cut him off right away and said, look, why are we even, you know, engaging both of these guys when they're not fighting each other? Which is a good point, but Dana White's attitude through the whole press conference,
Mr. Grumpy Gills,
was one, he was pissed off, but two, again, as Dana White does, was almost like a fuck you to the media type of attitude through the whole thing. And that really caught me off guard because Dana White's handled situations like people missing weight before and last minute changes and everything, and he's always been able to keep a smile on his face.
Yeah.
So
he's Mr. Grumpy Gills for several reasons.
Do you think that changed how the press conference flowed?
Yeah, I think so. You know, because when you're cutting off fighters from answering questions because you just don't want to hear it anymore because you're grumpy about other things, which we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, it just... Although sometimes press conferences have gotten out of hand when he hasn't cut off guys, you know? Like, so this was kind of on the other end. But there are several reasons why he was grumpy. And, you know, some of it's his fault, some of it's, well, some of it's just the way he's reacting to things, but...
Well, yeah, and these are just our guesses on why he might be acting
that way. Well, I'm
sure he's
upset that, you know, his bitch slap league isn't, you know, as popular as he wants it to be, and, you know, all the attention's not on him this week because of Endeavor and WWE, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
You know, and... You know, I don't know. Do you kind of get the feeling that maybe he doesn't love this anymore?
You know what? That's a really good question, because they pushed this pay-per-view, but they really didn't put as much heat behind this pay-per-view or as much of a push behind this pay-per-view as you would think they would with
being
how
the
big
rematch of Izzy and
yes.
and Pereira, yeah.
I mean, it was just a few days ago where they actually put on their YouTube page where they arranged it where it was focused around this pay-per-view.
Right.
Usually a good week or at least a week when Embedded first starts, mm-hmm. they have their YouTube page all lined up.
Right.
It seems like they really didn't put as much heat behind this pay-per-view is they should have. I've made that comment about other pay-per-views, but it's usually been about pay-per-views that it's like, well, I can't really blame them. I really wouldn't put much heat behind
but
it
yeah,
either.
Being in Miami for the first time and how long for a pay-per-view and having a great card like this and the rematch, you know... I agree with you. They just didn't put the oomph behind it.
No,
that they should have.
Now, to be fair, did they have to? Probably not. I totally believe that. I haven't checked, but I believe it's sold out. Unless you want to pay God outrageous prices.
No, I believe
to
that all of the tickets were sold. Yeah.
And I believe that pay-per-view buys are probably going to be very good.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. As I said before,
it's medication time.
Yeah, I've got some medical issues I got to take care of, so I'm on a whole bunch of different medications. But that being said, yeah, I think it disrupted the flow of it, because there was a number of times where Holland was asked questions. He's like, I'm not going to answer that because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
A number of times he said that. So, you know, again, it's one of those things where, you know, that's not Dana White's job isn't to stop fight. I mean, at that point, if you're having a press conference where people are just saying what you want them to say, it's not really a press conference then. It's like a wrestling promo. You're answering lines that you're being fed almost. I mean, not that they're being fed lines to feed the press, but they know they can only say certain things.
Right.
So I honestly, if that's the direction the press conferences are going to go, it just goes to what I said before, that I really think Endeavor needs to take a serious look at UFC. And sit down with Dana White and be like, okay, enough with your side projects. You got to concentrate on what you have right now that's making money. That being said, we did mention about the Holland and Masvidal skirmish. And Masvidal mentioned this week that Covington, who he's slated to fight Edwards, I believe when UFC returns to England this summer, for the title, because Masvidal's facing three felonies due to a run-in with Covington. They got into a fight outside of a Miami steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, again, nobody really knows what happened because I'm sure there's Covington's side, there's Masvidal's side, and somewhere in between there is the truth. Yeah. But Covington, the whole point of this is Masvidal's facing three felony charges, because he supposedly caused a brain injury to Covington. Well, if Covington has a brain injury, how the hell can you justify booking him in a fight?
Right, which we mentioned before the Edwards-Usman fight, because Covington was the backup.
Yes.
And we're like, how can he be the backup if he's in the middle of a court case where he's suing Masvidal for causing a brain injury?
Well, and this is where, again, Dana White privilege comes into play yet again. Because Masvidal versus Edwards makes more sense. They had a run-in. I believe it was one of the last times they ran Orlando backstage. They had a run-in during interviews. It makes sense to put Masvidal versus Edwards.
Right.
Covington, look, Dana White can say whatever he wants about Covington. Well, he lost weight. He flew over to England to be the backup. And I remember a time not all that long ago during COVID, when a certain person from Miami named Masvidal was called 3 days before the fight to come in, go through a quarantine and weight cut and all that other stuff to fight at the last minute because their main event went to shit.
Right.
I would think that Masvidal... Look, I'm not a big Masvidal fan at all, but I do think he deserves that fight. I think he deserves that fight.
I just can't imagine Covington's legal team in any way thinking that him being available for UFC fights helps his case.
I agree with you. If I'm his legal team, I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, how are they even supposed to build a case proving that he has a brain injury when he's training, cutting weight, ready to fight, you know?
Well, and
obviously been cleared by doctors to fight.
And here's the thing. Okay, look, for those that don't know, which most of you probably do, one of the things that my specialty as far as in the medical field, because I was going to be a neuropathologist, was brain injuries. And the effects of brain injuries, neurodegenerative disease and brain injuries, and things of that nature. In particular, brain injuries caused by sports or falls or blows to the head.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, a weight cut, if you have a brain injury and you go through a weight cut, it is one of the worst things in the world that you can do, because you are depriving your body of liquid. And it's not just your body. It's also depriving the brain of liquid. And that's one of the reasons why it used to be you weighed in the day of a fight. It used to be actually the night before the fights. And then you'd have less than 24 hours to rehydrate. Now they've gotten it where you weigh in first thing in the morning, the day before a fight. And you have over 24 hours to rehydrate. And that, in theory, should help cut down on the risk of brain injury. Does it eliminate it? No, of course not. But it should cut down that risk. What Covington wants to do, though, if he fights and he goes to that weight cut, if he truly does have a brain injury, if that is truth, and I don't think it is, but if it's truth, he is taking a massive risk with his health and a possible fatal risk with his health at that. Because if you're cutting down the weight like that, you stand a much higher risk of injuring that brain further. So I understand where Masvidal is coming from. I would rather see Burns versus Masvidal, and whoever wins that faces Edwards for the title. And that's what Burns and Masvidal both want as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's part of it. Now, we will get to that, because that's going to take a little bit longer. Okay, so we do make picks. We're going to make picks now, and then we're going to talk about a deal. Let's start off, and we're just going to pick who we think is going to be the winner. We're not even going to pick how they're going to win, because, again, Actually, I'm going to be honest. A lot of these fights are so close that I really don't feel like doing that. Rodriguez versus Rojas. Who do you think?
Rosas Jr. Yeah.
Okay, I totally agree with you on that one. Even though we're not calling it, I'm going to say that's going to be a finish.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's not even going to go the distance. What about Holland and Ponzinibbio?
Batman.
Okay, you're picking Holland. You know what? I'm really, really torn on this. Really torn on this.
It could go either way, but I like Kevin Holland.
I'm going to pick Holland, too. No. You know what? I'm going to pick Ponzinibbio.
Okay.
Because Holland's had some other issue, personal issues as well, and I'm kind of wondering if they're getting in the way. What about Rob Font for Giannis?
Rob Font.
Okay. Actually, you know what? I agree with you. I'm picking Font, too. Okay. How about Burns versus Masvidal?
Burns.
Oh, man, I have a feeling we're both going to agree on a lot of these.
Yeah.
I'm picking that, too. I don't think Masvidal's in the right headset. Right. I just don't think his head's in the right place.
My only concern is that he comes out maniacal and, you know, does something crazy and knocks Burns out. But
it's in his hometown. That's a very real possibility. But again, people got to remember, Burns fights down there too. I mean, he was on the Black Zillions for quite a while, which ran just outside of Miami. You know, he was fighting out of Coconut Creek for a while. So, you know, it's just Masvidal is known for getting his start in those backyard fights that like Dada 5000and Kimbo Slice were running.
Yeah. So if Masvidal doesn't finish it in like the first minute or two, then I think Burns is going to win.
I agree.
I
agree with you on that one. Okay, what about Pierre versus Adesanya?
Is he?
Yeah. Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. I really have
Pereira
gone.
Adesanya beat Adesanya.
You know what? The sad thing is, I agree with you on that because I actually think Adesanya, he was winning, at least in my opinion.
Right.
He got some. I mean, he was able to rock Pierre. And he's put on more muscle and he's worked more on his ground game, which that alone might be the difference maker. He's worked more on his ground game, which Pierre hasn't. Pierre is just relying on his kickboxing. So I gotta agree with you. I gotta pick Izzy as well. Again though, that fight was really hard. One of many fights on this card. They were very difficult for me to choose. So Monday we'll see how close we were. We weren't going to pick whether they were, finishes or goes to distance or we could have, but again, so many of them were so close. I wasn't going to do that because honestly, if I was wrong, I don't like people saying that I'm wrong. okay. So what are your thoughts on, for those who don't know, last weekend, Endeavor, who owns UFC, also took the plunge in and started the process of purchasing the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. This changes a lot for both companies, actually. But it is going to affect UFC, and it may affect it in ways that many people may not expect. So what are your thoughts? I mean, do you think it's a good deal for Endeavor and UFC?
Okay, it's a good deal for Endeavor.
Okay.
Across the board. You know, Endeavor is an entertainment company. You know, they've already been dealing, you know, they've already had the control of UFC, you know, for so long. Why not take on the other big sports entertainment company that does monthly big shows and, you know, live events and I mean, really, you know, we used to play a game when we would go to Busch Gardens or Disney or the zoo. We called it the John Cena t-shirt game.
Yeah.
When John
yeah.
Cena was actively wrestling in WWE, we would walk through, and as we saw mostly kids, but also adults wearing a John Cena t-shirt, we would just yell, one,
oh, yeah.
two,
yeah.
and other people caught on to what we were doing. Because we would like to see, and then, like, there would be, like, the WrestleMania shirts that had, like, The Rock, Undertaker, John Cena, Edge, you know, whatever. And so those would count as a half or whatever. But it's becoming more popular to see people with UFC gear on.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Now, not as much in the United States, but I will tell you that, and we both seen this. When we were down in Mexico and mm-hmm. Belize and areas like that.
When you were walking around with your UFC t-shirts, everybody wanted to talk to you.
Yes. Yes. And it's such... So, all this is going to do is it's in my opinion, what I think it's going to do, it's going to help both companies.
Right.
But I do think it's going to help UFC as well, because you're going to have crossover. You might have some wrestlers that may not fight in UFC, because again, it's a different form of entertainment. I will say it does seem that UFC fighters are more excited about this than the wrestlers are, but there is a reason for that.
Well, a lot of the UFC fighters grew, because you have to think of the age of a lot of the UFC fighters.
Oh yeah, they're close to your age than mine.
They're either my age or younger, and so they grew up with The Rock, The Undertaker, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H and DX, John Cena, you know, all of these really mainstream wrestlers, you know, the Attitude Era on, that, you know, they're like, this is great. This is what I grew up watching as a kid, and I still like it. So they're excited to, you know, possibly be able to make an appearance on a WWE show.
Yes.
Or possibly be able to be at a premium live event like WrestleMania or something like that.
Yes.
Just for their own, you know, fanfare, you know?
Well, to give you an idea, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but, and I think I know what I'm going to say next, is there was an Australian sports talk show. It was a TV show. And they had Volkanovski and Whitaker on there. And what happened is Whitaker came out. I think Volkanovski came out first,
no,
I think.
Whitaker
came out first. Dressed up as Hulk Hogan with a title belt and big mustache and a bandana. And then Volkanovski came out as Stone Cold, you know, flipping off the camera. And they blurred that out. But he also... Because he's got that Australian accent or that New Zealand accent.
He was trying to do the
redneck accent. And the combination of them both was hilarious.
It was beautiful.
But you could tell that they were having a genuine good time about that, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good for UFC. Now, where I think the problems for UFC are going to come in is WWE is fairly transparent on a number of things. They have to be because they're publicly traded. They don't try to hide things. They don't hide numbers. You know, look, wrestling is known to inflate attendance numbers.
Yes.
But you can't inflate certain numbers like... You can inflate attendance numbers because you can always play around with the tickets. You know, you can say, well, we had this many, but only this many were comps. Or if you wanted to look bigger, we gave away this many comps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to pay-per-views, or in their case, premium live events, you can't lie about those. Because it's now, especially now that it's streaming, the numbers are right there. You know, again, this goes back to me saying when Dana White says he can't track how many pay-per-view buys, he's full of shit. He's lying to everybody. And again, I you know, I'm one of the people, and this is why we'll never see us get our press credentials back, because I would have no problem at all telling Dana White to his face, he's full of shit.
Right.
And I know why. because I know how the back end of computers work, especially streaming services. You're not going to be able to hide that anymore. UFC is because I think what's going to happen is Endeavor is going to see how transparent WWE is on some things, and they're going to be like, well, wait a minute, why isn't UFC being as transparent? You know, and I think that's going to make a difference. I think that's going to be better for the fans as well. Where I do think you might end up seeing something that's really going to piss Dana White off, though, as well as McMahon, and possibly Endeavor, depending on how they feel about this, is now you've got wrestlers and you've got fighters. The pay is known.
The
pay and the
contracts are going to be the issue for Endeavor.
And the very likely fact that you're going to see more of them try to start a union.
Yes.
And that's going to become a bigger issue. Because again, the way MMA runs, and I think a lot of people don't understand this. With wrestling, they don't offer you insurance at all. At least in WWE. I believe AEW actually does offer its wrestlers insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But WWE does not. You got to pay for your own insurance. Now, they make enough money where they can get pretty good insurance. That being said, UFC fighters, they don't get insurance either. The way MMA works is when you promote a MMA event, whether it be amateur or pro, you have to pay for insurance. And what that insurance covers is if any fighter is injured at your event and needs to go to the hospital, everything's covered up until they leave the hospital. Once they leave the hospital, at that point, everything is on them. And that's one of the reasons why, and Dana White's actually done this before, encourage fighters that had to go to the hospital to stay in the hospital as long as they can, because that way they're covered. Well, that may change. If they go to try to form a union, then insurance is definitely going to be a huge issue, along with a number of other things. Pay is going to be an issue because lower card guys are making dirt money. Dirt money, not even close to some of the low card guys in WWE. And even the upper card guys. I mean, okay, if we look at this upper card right now, the base pay for this card, okay, Piera is making $500,000. Gilbert Burns is making $250,000. Masvidal is making $500,000. Adesanya is making $1 million. And for the most part, the rest of the card goes downhill from there. Now, that might sound like a lot of money, and you're not counting in bonuses. If some of them get performance bonuses or fight of the night and the bonuses from Venom and Monster, but they got to pay a nutrition team. They got to pay their training team, which might include up to 10 people. They have to pay gym fees. I mean, Mike Perry, when he was fighting for UFC, there was a number of times where even if he got performance of the night, which is $50,000, still, once you pay taxes to whatever state you're in and everything else, you were left. There was a point in time where Mike Perry didn't even have money for a Happy Meal,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a meal from McDonald's after he paid everybody, you know. So those are issues that are going to come up. So, and we mentioned that we had ideas of why Dana White might be pissed off. I know that he was a little bit aggravated that Masvidal pulled out a gun on Embedded. The cameraman freaked out, which they cut out and they edited it. But the cameraman didn't know that Masvidal was going to pull out a gun because Masvidal was trying to be like Scarface. He was upset about the clash between the teams, between Kevin Holland and Jorge Masvidal. He probably is not happy that much of the attention is on WWE and Endeavor right now. His Bitch Slap League really did not do well at all. And I'm sure that Endeavor was either said, look, no more experiments, or they said, look, you got one more season to give it a shot. If it doesn't work, we're pulling the plug. We're not going to fund it anymore. Endeavor's going to end up making cuts. And I don't think it's going to just hit WWE. I think you're going to see some cuts in UFC as well, because Endeavor is going to circle the wagons a little bit. We're coming up to a very likely recession as well. That's going to mean less pay-per-view buys. It's going to be less people in attendance. And that means less money. So one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to release fighters, or Dana White needs to stop taking half of the proceeds. Because that's the other problem, is they're going to look at how much money McMahon takes, Triple H takes, everything else like that. And then they're going to look at how much money Dana White takes. And they're going to see that Dana White takes a hell of a lot more of a cut than anybody in WWE does. And that's a problem. That's a problem. And I think Dana White realizes that the gig's up and he's going to be under a magnifying glass now.
Well, and isn't the deal of Endeavor and WWE different than Endeavor and UFC? Because doesn't UFC have to make payments to Endeavor?
Yes. Unfortunately, not enough has come out to be known about the deal with WWE. But there is some kind of a deal where UFC does got to pay Endeavor a certain amount of money, even though Endeavor owns them. And I don't know what the actual deal with that is. I don't know if it's
it almost sounds like a cut of merchandise, or Endeavor invested in UFC as opposed to purchased it. But Endeavor actually is purchasing WWE as opposed to investing in it. And I think that that might be a frustration as well.
And that's a very real possibility as well. I mean, UFC notoriously keeps things very close to the vest. Mm-hmm. WWE does to a certain extent. But again, being in that business for as long as we were, things get out. I mean, you know, we hear things before anybody else does, just because we have friends that work for WWE. And unlike UFC, where you practically have to beg for an audience with Dana White, it's real easy if you work for WWE to go and talk to Triple H. Or it used to be easy to talk to Vince McMahon. I don't know how it is now. Most people don't want to talk to Vince McMahon.
Right.
But Triple H is very accessible to all the wrestlers that they have. Where Dana White, he's accessible to a certain extent, but he does brush a lot of things off to Hunter Campbell. And Hunter Campbell won't or can't reveal a lot of information, either because he doesn't know, or he doesn't know what he's allowed to say because he doesn't want to piss off Dana White. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see. But there's the very real possibility this is a very good thing. There also is the very real possibility, if they look at WWE's market, like WWE makes more money than UFC now. That was not the case for a little while. But WWE is making a lot more money than UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And their model is different from UFC. They host events. They don't charge as much for tickets. They pay their wrestlers more than the fighters get paid. They don't charge for the premium live events or pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a good deal with Peacock. If Endeavor sees that that model is making them good money like that, Dana White might be cringing, because it may have been brought up that, you know what, we might switch you guys over to the same model that WWE has. I will tell you right now, if they do that, they're going to get a lot more fans and they won't have any problem selling out any place. Mm-hmm. But Dana White's not going to have a big old bag of money to take home after every event like he does right now. You know, again, handing someone a block of $50,000 for their birthday just because you like their podcast, those days are going to be over. You know, and that might be what's pissing off Dana White too. Who knows? Maybe he was constipated. Maybe that's why he was bad. Maybe he just had to take a dump.
But he was very Mr. Grumpy Gills.
Yes. And I mean, again, that's unusual for Dana White. Dana White realizes that being in front of the public, you have to put on your best face every single time. He did not do that last night at all. He came off like a dick. If I was a new fan watching that, it would be like,
yeah, it'd be like, who's this?
Who the fuck is this dick?
Yeah.
So, at any rate, you got anything else to add?
No.
Awesome. Cool. We're going to close out
Happy Easter.
Yes. If you celebrate Easter, whatever you celebrate, happy holiday. And I say that because I know some people celebrate Ramadan right around now and things like that. Happy Easter, Ramadan, or whatever you celebrate. Everybody,
Happy Zombie Jesus Day.
If you're going to see the pay-per-view, if you're going out for Easter, whatever, and you're drinking, please be careful. Don't drink and drive. Be safe. And we will be back on Monday with the results and any relevant news that comes out of this weekend. Thank you guys so very much. Have a great weekend.